All right. Hey, this is Act 2 of the podcast. We're getting right back into it. If you missed Act 1, go back and listen to that thing. Otherwise, this isn't going to make any sense. Okay. See ya. Where are we right now? Okay. I got to pee. I got to pee right now. I drank a bunch of water. I'm going to take a break, and I will be back with you as we have a Thursday edition of the Eric Zane Show podcast going on. Thank you so much for being here. I'll be right back. All right. I had a person interact with me on my Segment 18 Facebook page, and he wrote, "Let's not forget, this is the guy who made fun of a child whose dad got killed fighting the war in Afghanistan." Now, I don't remember ever saying anything like that. And I'm wondering how it laid out. In the scope of the show, it had to be hilarious. Now, if you say it like that, they made it sound like there was a kid who was, raising money for a charity to honor his dad who got killed in combat. And I just out of the blue said, "I'm glad his dad got killed in Afghanistan." I guess it's not impossible that I would say that. But I think I need a little bit more context. It's kind of like the lady who said that I called her fat. And I said, "All right, well, I don't just go up to people randomly and say you're fat and ugly. Typically, something has happened to put me into that frame of mind." I will tell you this. Anything terrible that I have ever said, and I have said a lot of amazingly funny, terrible things. That was my job. It was always in response to something else that happened, or it was deserved. That's why it's important to have context. You got to find out the context. Now, is there anyone on the planet who deserves to be told, "Aha, your dad got killed in Afghanistan"? Now, I would argue that there probably is someone who exists whose dad got killed in Afghanistan who is an asshole. So let's say this. If I'm walking down the street and I know a guy whose dad got killed in Afghanistan, and this guy comes up to me and kicks me in the balls, it's then okay to say to him, "Hey, man, I'm glad that your dad got killed in Afghanistan because he kicked you in the balls." You see what I'm saying? So if you just throw out that, hey, you can't just say you're glad somebody got killed in Afghanistan. It's like, well, no, you're right. It doesn't make any sense to just go and attack somebody because their dad got killed in Afghanistan. But I if you're going to say something like that, you definitely got to provide the context. You know, that's fair. I mean, if you're going to indict me and throw me under the bus, you got to do that. Donko says Bin Laden's kid's dad was killed in Afghanistan. Joke race. Chris says the same joke. Chris K says, "I don't recall anything like that either." Bob says, "No, I think that was Pakistan. Aram says, and I don't know why it says this, "Remember when Diana would hit cars parked at the school parking lot and would yell at them like it was their fault?" I do remember that. "Also, that time Easy woke up from a nap and was told the brand new van had a small scratch that ended up being a deep gouge through the whole side. The detailer told Diana over the phone it was something that could be buffed out without seeing it, of course. Those were funny on-air flip-outs." All right. I just had another one reach out to me. This was a classic. So I posted the interview of me with Rachel, who had her date yesterday with Zach of Pardon My Take. which, by the way, I got to text her. Hello, period. I hope the date was fun, period. Any brief synopsis update? Question mark. I posted that to the 18 group, A, because it pisses them off, B, because it was a great fucking interview. But people there hate me so much that they blindly just attack me no matter what I do. If I had Jesus Christ on the phone and I interviewed him expertly, which, let's be honest, if I'm doing an interview, I'm interviewing them expertly. I am one of the greatest interviewers that has ever walked the face of the earth. I always listen. I'm patient. I let the person I'm interviewing talk. I am exceptional at it. And that was on display again yesterday. Absolute top notch. Young lady did an outstanding job explaining herself, and she's very easy to talk to. She made it simple. Despite that, this guy writes, "Damn, bro. Here we go. It's got to be the same crack. Start collecting rent because they're branded in your head." I love how Zane has these interviews pre-groomed. What? I called her randomly. Such a one-dimensional style that is all hearsay, spells hearsay wrong, speculation, and attacking. So this is a Joe lover. No wonder he never wants to team to the other sides. Not sure what that means. Can never be wrong that way. The mediocrity is incredible for being on the low end of his spectrum. All right, there's a lot of words there. And I wrote back to old Jeremy. I go, "Yeah, hey, say what you will. There's no convincing you. But never forget, you listened to a show that it is that did a segment called We Give You the Condiment, You Tell Us If It Goes in the Fridge. Let that sink in." Outstanding. Man Bun Chris says, "Old boy was a few Miller Lights deep into writing that, LOL. Rich says, "They all come out of the woodwork whenever you're mentioned on that page, the Eric Zane fan page." Thank you, Rich. I've seen you on there. I've seen you talk about how the only thing that gets any traction on either that or the Reddit is when I am on it. All right? And that's true. And it's interesting. I am all for when they beat the shit out of me. If it means they're going to say something, that's interesting. How is it that a clown, so-called, 9 years removed, is still the only thing that's going on in that show? It shouldn't be that way. When we watched that short clip on Pardon My Take, where Zach was talking about that first TikTok with Rachel, did you notice how that felt when we played it yesterday? Could you not pick up on the interesting elements that are taking place on that show? It was a goddamn story arc. I've talked about it many, many times. Now we're invested. You will not find that on there. There is no one on that show that has anything interesting going on. And they know it. Vampster75 has a story to share. He says, "I started listening to your podcast. I enjoy it a lot more than listening to FBHW. Thanks. I'm glad I moved on from that show." I have a homework assignment for you, Vampster75, and you don't have to reveal yourself if you don't want to. But send me an email, even if it's from a fake account. Some people don't care and they just send it from their email and then I get to know them. That's part of the things we do is I get to know these people on a first name basis. One at a time, as my pal Chris, Man Bun Chris says, brick by brick. If you could, I always like to get the background of when I steal somebody. You know, what was going on in your brain? What's your background? How did you find out about me? Tell me what was happening as you started to experiment with this show. I think I enjoyed listening to this more than I like listening to that fucking thing. I always love those stories, and I crave the feedback. One of the drawbacks of doing a show like this from my house is I just don't interact enough with human beings. I hate that sometimes. But I always like corresponding. And who knows, maybe you'll be in book club one day. Thank you, Vampster75. Oh, by the way, my new number one fan is Kelly Collins. Kelly Collins is the better half, pardon me, of the head coach of the Michigan Rangers, Stuart Collins, who, by the way, yesterday during that game, he got so fucking pissed off at one point. It was during the water break because it was really hot. And a team comes to the side, they get a water break, and they get a second for the coach to talk to him. And he was all red-assed. He was pissed about something. And so now I met Kelly Collins earlier in the year. Really nice. Two kids running around. Awesome. And spoke with her, and I saw her yesterday, and she revealed to me, hey, they're super excited. Hey, I listen to the podcast now. I go, holy shit, that's awesome. Because she knew me from the radio show. She used to listen to the radio show when she was probably a fucking teenager. That makes me feel old as shit. But so that was cool. And she was at the game. So was the TikTok lady. I forgot her name. I played you the clips, the TikTok clips of that couple. What's her name again, Chris? And I'm looking down at all the people that are walking in. Kristen and Steve Wiltz. I'm going to watch one of their TikToks. I always love those couples videos where like the husband does something and it makes the wife like cringe. That's fun. Let's see what they can offer me this time. Keeping her on her toes.
You know, the funny thing about marriage is realizing just how different men and women can be. For example, the perineum on a man is commonly referred to as the taint, because taint nothing there. And that's how we always remember it growing up. But on a woman, it's referred to as a driving range, because that's where you hit your balls.
Oh my God.
Write that down.
Wow.
She's walking down the aisle, and I introduce her. I go, oh my God, from TikTok fame, Kristen Wiltz is here. Follow them on, well, the usual spots. Kristen and Steve Wiltz, W-I-L-T-Z. Okay. I when I posted that, I talked about this on the Patreon. I posted that fucking video to segment 18 of Rachel and I. And there were some people there that I don't think have seen my face in quite some time. So, like, you know, there's the usual comments of fuck him. And then there's the ones that were making fun of how old I am. And I'm not going to lie, I was like, oh, fuck, I did not see that coming. Because I've got a very, I don't know if you know this about me, I've got a very high opinion of myself. I mean, I think I'm handsome. And this guy wrote, holy fuck, is he old. And then the next one says, Jesus Christ, he looks like shit. That kind of bummed me out, I'm not going to lie. I said for the first time yesterday to Coltron in the booth about age. I go, you know, I'm closer to 60 than I am 50. You realize that, don't you? And that's fucking tough. Holy shit. Becca Shea is lovely. She says, you don't look like shit. I know that, but sometimes I'm fishing for compliments and you just help me. So thank you so much. I appreciate that. Okay. Rainbow Flag Jeremy sent me this fight video. I think it's old, but it's worth it. You got black dude, white dude. White dude is a musician, and he's finishing a gig, and he's putting his shit away, like his violin in his car, and black guy comes up and hits him. White guy doesn't like that, and white guy grabs a bongo drum, and so when he makes impact, he hits him over the head with a bongo drum, and the noise it makes is outstanding. Let's break this down. The guy's like, all right, I've had enough. He's walking away. The guy gets sucker punched, though. Here comes the guy. Oh, he broke the guy's window. He came up and broke the musician's window on the back of his vehicle. Now this guy calmly goes. Gets a bongo. And then... oh, hit him on the back of the head with a bongo drum. Throws the bongo back, and then that's the end of it. I can't believe how slow. How did this guy not see this coming? He's got old white guy chasing him with a bongo. And then this. Oh. That's a great moment in time. Thank you to Rainbow Flag Jeremy for sending that one along to your old pal, EZ. Trump is in the news. I've been sitting on this story. The headline reads, Trump's administration says that Trump has ordered that it will not publish major climate change report on the NASA website like it's supposed to. So NASA gets information about climate change. The report details climate impacts across the U.S. and were previously available on government websites. And then all of a sudden, they weren't. Trump said, I want you to take down all shit about climate. And this is like the new playbook now. Epstein list. Trump's on the top of the Epstein list saying how many times he had sex with kids. List vanishes. NASA about to publish that we're all doomed and the planet's going to explode and it's getting hot as hell and the sea levels are rising and all the other terrible news that we get every time. And no, you're not. We're going to make that disappear. Trump is saying put your head in the ground and just say it didn't happen. That's all you have to do. And I actually don't hate it because whether Trump is having sex with children or not, he's still going to be the president. And if there's a list saying that Trump had sex with children and it's available, it really isn't going to change anything. You know, it's not like somebody's going to get pissed off and demand that he resign. A large portion of the country, more than the sane people, the insane people don't care that he has put his dick in kids. They don't care. List goes away. That's it. It's terrible, but folks, we've got a little under 3.5 years left of this. This is just the latest thing that we have to put up with. So it should be no surprise that Trump says, yeah, no, you just won't publish it. This is like something that happens in a country where they like censor the news. You know how like in North Korea, they've got state-run everything. This is not that far off of that. So, I mean, seriously, if they post that stuff, yeah, the planet's getting hotter. It's not great. I mean, honestly, at the end of the day, does it really matter? I mean, our planet is doomed. And I think the quicker we wrap our brains around that, the easier it's gonna be, because I honestly feel like, I mean, I often see how the planet is, but am I willing to stop driving around in my Silverado with a 350 motor? No. Am I willing to not get on an airplane? No. Am I willing to not pour my used motor oil into the ground? No, I'm not. I'm not going to do any of those things. So I don't care what it says. It doesn't fucking matter. And anybody that acts like we got to change the planet is a hypocrite. No one gives a shit enough to actually have any of their life hampered in any way, shape, or form. Hi there. Everything cool? So are they both in there? Yeah, just leave that door open so he can come in and out.
Love you.
Love you too.
I'll call you back before my plane is, but if I don't have time, I'll...
Pooh Bear making an impromptu visit. I told him to just leave that door open, and I just heard it close. Does that surprise anybody? Hey, Siri.
Mm-hmm.
Call Pooh Bear, mobile on speaker.
Calling Pooh Bear, mobile on speaker.
Hello?
Yeah, I wanted you to leave that closet door open so she could come in here if she wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Okay, bye. Jeremy says the earth will be fine for the next 80 years. By then, I'll be 116. I'll be okay. Nick says, I've changed. I now burn my motor oil. It helps burn up the rest of the trash. David, with a great question, and I want you to keep asking it. When is the Easy and Pooh Bear podcast? Easy and Pooh Cast. I swear to God, we're going to. I just don't know when. I haven't gotten around to it. Book Club has supplanted the Easy and Pooh Cast. I know. We need that podcast. We're going to do it. Man Bun Chris says ending of the show can be cockhead of the day. Dan says, question, does posting... talking about NASA. Does posting that imply that the U.S. is the worst polluter of the world? I don't know. I think it, but what about our friends in Canada who can't control their forests and other countries? I don't know, man. I'm out of my lane on this discussion anyway. I'm just here to tell you that anybody that is trying to save the planet, I mean, okay. The only way to really save this planet is everyone on the planet never has to utilize anything that enables fossil fuel. So let's start with transportation.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Shipping industry is done. The airline industry is done. Transportation in general via car, truck, whatever, bus, that's done. I mean, if you really want to save the planet, you can no longer use items made from plastic. Now, this is all going to send us all back into the Stone Age. The ability to care for people who are ill will be highly compromised without the necessary equipment that is made from plastics. David says plastic is a bigger problem than fossil fuel. Well, I don't think it is. I think it's great. I love plastics. I think we need more plastics so that we can have more great shit. So I'm not ready to lift even one finger outside of what I just said to help the planet because I'm using all of those things. I'd be a hypocrite if I said, we gotta help. Fuck that. The only thing I do is I recycle. And you know what happens with that? Some guy who's got a bigger brain than me has a business that buys all that shit that I basically sort for him. And then he grinds it up and sells it to people who then make shit out of it. So he's making a killing. That's about it. So I don't think it even matters whether or not that's on there. On July 3rd, NASA put out a statement saying all pre-existing reports will be hosted on the NASA website, ensuring continuity of reporting. This document was written for the American people, paid for by the taxpayers, and it contains vital information we need to keep ourselves safe in a changing climate. As the disasters that continue to mount demonstrate so tragically and clearly, said Texas Tech climate scientist Catherine Hayhoe. She is a chief scientist at the Nature Conservancy and co-author of several past national climate assessments. The new stance is classic Trump administration misdirection, she said. In this instance, the administration offers a modest consolation to quell initial outrage over the closure of the globalchange.gov site and the disappearance of the national climate assessments. Then 2 weeks later, they snatch away the consolation with no apology. They simply don't want the public to see the meticulously assembled and scientifically validated information about what climate change is already doing to our farms, forests, and fisheries, as well as the storms, floods, wildfires, and coast property, blah, 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 and about how all those damages will grow in the absence of concerted remedial action. Yes, she's right. She's 100% right. She wrote this in an email. That's why it's important that state and local governments and everyday people see these reports, she said. Trump said they are written in a way that is, quote, useful to people who need to understand what climate change is doing and will do to them, their loved ones, their property, and their environment. Trump doesn't want people to know, Holdren wrote. Well, yes, you're right, but it doesn't matter. Okay? Most of the people who love Trump that are stupid, they don't give a shit about this anyway, or they just don't believe you. And the people who do believe it already believe it. So, whatever. You're just mad because Trump wiped out all the work that you put out. You know, I don't give a shit. Again, my stance, it's not going to matter. Place is going to get hotter, going to be more disasters, and there ain't a goddamn thing we can do about it. Megan says, do Elon's rockets run on batteries? Feels like they should. Exactly. Bob says Captain Planet would be very disappointed in us all. Donut says, Donut Dan says, wait, many places make you pay to recycle that crap. Then they make big money from it. Yeah, they do. That's 100% true. And basically, the only reason why I'm doing it is... I'm doing my part. But honestly, it's either I'm filling up a garbage can or I'm filling up the recycle bin. Either way, I've got two containers full of shit that has to go out into the road. And as long as it's not in my house, that is all I'm concerned about. Yes, I do recycle, but again, I'm not like, ah, boy, I'm doing this for the planet, because it doesn't matter. Thank you to the sponsors, as always. I want to mention my friends over at Kuiper Tree Care, 616-828-8225. They are the best. 616-828-8225. If you are in West Michigan, think about reaching out to them, K-U-I-P-E-R, treecare.com. Tree removal, stump grinding, tree risk assessment, storm cleanup, tree pruning. They do it all. They did it for us here, and they can do it for you too. Kuiper Tree Care. Frank Fuss helps you with your healthcare.gov policy. You can get started by going to buyinsurancehere.com. That's buyinsurancehere.com. Berlin Raceway's got racing this weekend. You should be part of that action. BerlinRaceway.com is their website. Tickets are $15 up to 11:59 p.m. coming up on Friday night. After that, they go up by $5. Kids are free. Parking is free. You can bring in all your snacks and your soft drinks. Just no glass, and the cooler or bag must be 12 by 18 or smaller. They will have a look on that. And the concessions are affordably priced. So if you get a snack to eat, you get a beer to drink, you're not like overpaying like you would at any of the other venues in the area. And finally, Adam Kasari Realty. If you are selling your home or looking to buy a home, tap him. He's a great resource. Terrific sponsor of this show. You can find him on Facebook, A-D-A-M-C-A-S-A-R-I, or click the link in the show notes of this podcast, or just call him, 616-914-4061. That's 616-914-4061. There is a lawsuit that was filed this week in beautiful Grand Rapids, Michigan. Some lady knocked back the Monster beverage, the Monster energy drink. And according to the lawsuit, she's like, wait a minute. There's something in the can that I've now finished drinking. Like, I thought it was just what was in the can. And now the can is empty. I drank it all, and there's something in the can. And then she looked inside of the can, maybe cut the lid off or whatever the fuck. And upon consuming the drink, according to the lawsuit, she picked up the can and realized the can was still oddly heavy. Out of curiosity, she was able to open the can further and, to her horror, found a dead mouse laying in the bottom of the can. The discovery caused, quote, severe emotional distress, trauma, and physical illness. All right, so one of the biggest things that you got to do if you're going to prove that is it's a long-term effect. So I could see getting sick. I could see you being freaked out. I could see that being traumatic. But I don't know about the long-term effects of that. That's why I think that this will get thrown out. That is, of course, if that's what happened. Now, what my mind tells me is that, I mean, most people who drink Monster energy drinks are shitty people to begin with. Like, you look at the whoever's holding a Monster or whatever the fuck energy drink, they're probably a fucking loser. Okay? Bummer if you drink Monster energy drink. I don't know how you people drink that shit. It tastes like shit. It'll kill you if you drink too much of it. What the fuck is wrong with you? So, yeah, it might be that there was a mouse in there, but I'll give it a 49% chance that a mouse was in there. I'll give it a 50. I'll take it back. I'll give it a 10% chance that there was a dead mouse in there, or a 90% chance that this crazy bitch put the mouse in there and then now started suing, started the lawsuit. I mean, how do you prove that? The lawsuit accuses Monster of negligence, strict liability, and breach of implied warranty of merchantability. Quote, Monster's product has been shown to be defective. A dead mouse in the bottom of a can is a clear and massive deviation from its intended design. I do not believe this. There is no fucking way that I believe that a mouse somehow wound up in a Monster energy drink. This is not the first lawsuit of its kind. More than a decade ago, a Washington man claimed he found a dead mouse at the bottom of a Monster energy drink. According to a report from NBC, Monster termed the 2011 lawsuit nothing more than a shakedown and said there was no factual basis for the claim. Yeah, and I agree with that. That there's no way you're going to be able to prove that. And I wonder if they ended up like settling out of court with that just to get it to go away, which I always kind of hate that when people do that. And so I'm fully convinced that this is just like that. Goddamn shakedown, chicks trying to get a bunch of money. Aaron with a decent joke. The mouse may have been the healthiest thing in the drink. Great reference from Starman. I found this mouse in a bottle of Elsinore beer, eh? Some of you get that reference. Bob says, I used to drink 3 to 4 a day, started to have heart palpitations, and will not touch them. Yeah, good. Man Bun Chris says, I can't talk, though. I love Red Bull. Nick says, I have a new preservation idea for the mouse buckets up at our fear bunkers. Man Bun Chris says, as Theo Vaughn once said, if you drink Monster, you are into domestic violence. Cole says, all construction workers ever drink Monster. And on and on and on. David in Hudsonville, we're backing up a little bit. He says, a documentary, By Now, The Shopping Conspiracy on Netflix, covers this plastic problem. It's a good series, easy. I bet it is. Probably not going to watch it just because you know me. There's very little that I actually take the time to watch. I've got numerous people suggesting Poop Cruise. And then I got numerous people talking about the Brian Koberger docu about the Idaho murders as all excellent. I believe you. I got Will Ferrell traveling across the U.S. with a transgender friend is supposed to be must viewing. I don't doubt it. But I'm so damn busy, I probably won't do it. I'm not going to lie to you. Maybe one day I'll get around it. Get around to it. But probably not. Are any of you familiar with the Gen Z stare? I wasn't until I read this. It is more than a TikTok trend. It's a real problem in the workplace and the job market. The idea is, like, let's say you show up at Starbucks and you're making your order. For some reason, people are seeing this happen right here where the person behind the counter or whoever you're interacting with, it doesn't have to be in that specific interaction, they're just staring at you. And so I guess that's a problem. Okay, now I want to unpack this a little bit. And is there anything going on that maybe this is real. So I'm going to dissect this. Gen Z accused of just staring at their phones while I do that. With blank and expressionless faces, the Gen Z stare has become the rare social media sensation that turns the mirror back on Gen Zers. So like my daughter, Madison. Instead of vice versa, something like the inversion of the millennial pause, which is an entirely different thing. You may recognize it if you've had an unsettling experience with the barista while trying to order a coffee, or if you were discussing an assignment with a colleague and weren't sure if they were understanding you, because without saying anything, they just stared back at you. Now, I might experience this for myself when Professor Pop Pop is teaching at Aquinas College coming up in September. Well, August. As you know, I am going to be teaching the podcasting class. So I might see this Gen Z stare with these Gen Zers. By the way, did you know that after Gen Z is Gen Alpha? Like it's going back to the start of the alphabet, I guess. But I don't know. I mean, it went boomers to X, which is the greatest generation. And then it went to from X to millennials to Z to A. X, millennials, Z, A. The TikTok trend is quickly becoming a flashpoint in debates about workplace culture, generational divides, and the future of what's known as soft skills. Oh. The Gen Z stare is emblematic of deeper economic and social shifts as the youngest working generation reshapes the labor market. One Reddit user described visiting a chocolate shop to pick up a birthday gift. The young person working at the counter just stared blankly at me, as I said, smiled and said hi. She said nothing, even when I said thank you. What if she's just in a shitty mood? It makes me self-conscious. I start wondering if I did something wrong. Okay, look, let them do that. Don't worry about what Gen Z is doing. Besides, it's the fucking millennials' problem. Those assholes deserve every bad thing that they get. So if Gen Z is staring at millennials, good, as Jocko would say. That means the millennials have to learn how to problem solve. That means they're getting a taste of what we've had to experience with those cocksuckers. So because I'm happy that Z is making millennials be like, oh, God, what is going on? Why are they? Why, oh, my God. Can you believe that? Yeah, you did it. You know, here we are, the millennials. We had our kids. We tried to make them like us. All right. You know, get home when the streetlights come on, rub some dirt on it. Play outside, and they balked. I don't know what happened. I think the internet helped raise them to a point so that they like shut off the guidance that the greatest parents ever, Gen X, work that we were doing. So now they're all fucked up. Well, they have kids, and now it's even worse. So the millennials had kids that they are making fucked up, but X had kids and they did not make them fucked up. We tried to save them. So now they have to deal with these vacant, unresponsive gazes that often replace traditional greetings or small talk. That is the Gen Z stare. Millennials have taken to social media to explain how unsettling this is. Gen Zers argue that the stare is a reaction to awkward, nonsensical customer interactions. I'm with Gen Z. Millennials don't know how to act. All right? That is a lost generation. To me, Gen Z is channeling the inner ex and looking at them like, are you fucking kidding me? Managers and older colleagues report that the Gen Z stare reflects a broader challenge with face-to-face communication. The article goes on to talk about the endless cycle of generational critiques, which is what I'm doing here, obviously. But I think it's important to note that you cannot just start attacking Gen Z. I mean, that is the future. It's a lost cause with you millennials, which is a good portion of this audience. Gen Z is saving it. They're bringing it back. I'm thankful for them. Becca Shea says Gen X is the best. Yes, of course. Piano Finger Banger says Gen Z is extra fucks because one, phones, two, chat GPT, three, pandemic. They have no idea how to interact with people or solve a problem without the internet. I don't think so. I think they do. I think that's spoken like a millennial. I know in my neighborhood, it is rich in Gen Alpha. All right. And the millennials are raising the alphas. And now I'm waiting for this to fuck up, but I think that their siblings who are Gen Z are helping alpha because I get in my neighborhood, they're all outside. They're playing, they're getting in trouble, they're finger banging, they're doing the shit you're supposed to do that Gen X did. I think alpha brings it all the way back. The average alpha kid in my neighborhood has already finger banged. And that kind of makes the world go round, in my opinion. Megan knows. She says Gen Alpha is wild. They're cool as fuck. Yeah, they do not fuck around. These are our leaders. And I wish that the moms and dads would have more than two kids. You got to have like five or six. We need to normalize moms and dads having like 5, 6, 7, or 10 children. Because we need more people to pay for us when we get old. So we got to start some type of fucking incentive. Bob says, elder millennials are the best gen. You're not as bad. You have some X-like tendencies. But there's still a high degree of fuckery in your brains, which I think you can cover up. Rebecca says, I cannot afford one child, let alone multiple. You are not alone. Everybody is like that. It is time for the asshole of the day. In the chat, do you have a nominee? Yesterday, we put world-famous radio producer and owner of radio stations, producer Joe, as the asshole of the day. I like where you're going with this, chat. Segment 18 is a callous, devastating group of assholes. They are the assholes of the day again. Congrats. You guys are on a roll. I also got votes for JC. Honorable mention. That's my time. Talk to you on the Patreon. Thank you, and bye-bye.